In today's Mishnah, we learn the eighth and final Mishnah from the third parak of Masechet HaHoriot. And with that, we finish Seder Nezikin, and then we'll begin the new Seder, Seder Kodshim, which will bring us to the world of Korbanot, and we'll learn the first Mishnah in Masechet Tzvachim. So the Mishnah begins, Kohen Kodem Lelevi. When it comes to Vashab Kedusha, we already alluded to this in yesterday's Mishnah, but the Kohen goes before the Levi. So for example, if you've got people at your table for benching, you've got to give the Kohen. And Levi Kodem Lisrael. And a Levi comes before in Israel. Now, how do we learn? This is actually learned from the Psukim, because it says, V'yavdel Aharon lahaktisho kodesh kodeshim, that Aharon HaKohen was separated from the Leviim, and if he's sanctified, kodesh kodeshim hu v'navad olam. And with respect to a Levi to Israel, it says, Be'et ahi hivdil Hashem, separated, hivdil Hashem et shevet Levi. Let's continue. Have an Israel, a regular Israel, is kodem precedes a mamzer. This is someone who's a product of a relationship that was forbidden by way of karet, and a mamzer precedes a natin. Now, a natin, as we've discussed before, it was from the times of Yeshua that tricked, if you like, Yeshua. They were referred to as the givonim, and he forbade them from marrying Israel. We talked about it in detail in the past, and it says v'natin, a natin would go before a ger, someone who converted, as opposed to a natin whose ancestors converted. And it continues, V'ger le'eved meshuchrar, and a convert precedes an eved meshuchrar, a eved who was freed, and therefore, by way of his, referring to an eved knani, by way of his being freed, he's effectively gone through conversion as well. Mishnah says, however, eimatai, when do you have that level of precedence? That's bizman shukulam shavim, that's when they're all equal in learning. However, aval hayam mamzer talmid chacham, you've got a mamzer who is the Torah scholar, and you could have the Kohen Gadol who happened to be in Am Haaretz, and that was very possible in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash. Who would go first? It says, Mamzer Talmid Chacham, the Mamzer Talmid Chacham would go first, before Kodem LaKohen Gadol Am Haaretz, would go prior to this Kohen Gadol, despite him being a Kohen Gadol and Tov Kadosh, because he's an Am Haaretz compared to this Talmid Chacham who happened to be a Mamzer. Here, the Baal Tanura cites a pasuk in Mishlei, says, Yekarahi Mipninin, which means it is more dear to me from that which goes inside, or from the inside. What's that referring to? Meaning the Torah itself is more dear, so meaning a mamzer who is a Talmid Chacham is more dear than a Kohen Gadol who had the ability to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. And with that, Selecha Masechta Harayot, and we finish Seder Nezikim. Hadran Alach, as I said, Seder Nezikim. So let's quickly move on to this new Seder, Seder Kodashim. This brings us into the whole world of the base of Mikdash and Korbanot. It's a very exciting Seder. And as we'll learn not just about what happens in the base of Mikdash, we'll learn about the base of Mikdash itself. I've got a particular liking towards this Seder. But let's begin with the Masechet HaZvachim as quickly as we can. And this deals with Korbanot. So the Mishnah says, Kol HaZvachim SheNizbechu Shelo Lishman. And it's one of the critical things when one offers a Korban in the base of Mikdash is it is offered the Shem for the purpose of what the Korban is intended to be offered for. Because all you have is an animal in front of you. That was usually brought for a particular purpose, be it olah, shlamim, things like that, a chatat, it could be a peace offering, it could be a burnt offering, it could be a sin offering. However, the Mishnah says it has to be done lishma. Now, what does lishma mean? Here, Kati cites a machloket, Rashi and Rambam. Is it simply a matter of machshava, meaning it's in the mind of the person? When he slaughters the animal, he actually articulates the purpose of it. So Mishnah says that if someone actually offers a korban, shalol lishma, meaning it was a shlamim and he had in mind that it was, or he said it was going to be for an olah. The Mishnah says it would be ksherim. It would be fine. You could continue, you could offer the korban as normal. However, ele shalo alu labalim l'shem chova. While it is true that the sacrifice is not invalid and you can continue offering it in the normal way, the balim, the people that brought the korban, would not have satisfied their obligation to bring their korban. Kati does sign a machloket Rishonim in terms of whether it also applies if you did shel l'shem ba'alim, meaning it was not for the purpose of the owner, but I'll leave that matter for your further study. However, the Mishnah does continue, there's an exception to this. The exception is chutz min ha-pesach u'min ha-chatat. Pesach bizmano and chatat b'chol zman. What's this mean? So the Korban Pesach, as we know, is brought on the 14th in Nisan, towards afternoon. That's considered bizmano. If it's any other time after that, meaning either after or before, then if someone tried to offer a Korban Pesach, it would be considered a Shlamim. So importantly, referring to a Korban Pesach bizmano at the time where it's considered a Korban Pesach. So if someone had a Korban Pesach and they offered it L'Shem a different Korban, for the sake of an Olah, then it would not be considered valid. And that is because it says, Shomer et chodesh ha'aviv v'asita Pesach. You've got to guard this month, this spring month, and you should do this Pesach, meaning all your asiyah, all the actions you're doing for the Korban Pesach has to be l'shem Pesach. You also got another pasuk that says, Va'amartam zevach Pesach hu. Meaning the zevach, that when you offer this Pesach, it has to be for the purpose of the Korban Pesach. Similarly, when it says v'chatat, when it comes to a sin offering, throughout the entire year, if someone happened to offer it l'shem for the purpose of a different Korban, we would be invalid. Because it says v'shachat ota l'chatat, meaning the shchita specifically, the slaughtering, has to be for the purpose of a chatat offering. Now at this point I should probably mention that even though I've been describing the v'shachat or shchit of the Mishnah, this actually applies to the other three, in total four, critical avodah, critical processes that are done to a korban. They are shchit, as we've mentioned. We also refer to kabbalah, meaning kabbalat adam, catching the blood, holacha, which is taking this blood to the mizbeach, and zrika as well, which is throwing the blood on the mizbeach, or the side of the mizbeach as well. Learning about how all the different korban are offered and where the blood was sprinkled and like as well. The reason why I'm raising it now, because I've only mentioned the pasuk, the shachat, that has to be slaughtered, but there's also other psukim as well that refer to the other processes when it comes to the chatat. As for example, it says, v'lakach okhen midam chatat, the lakicha has to be l'shem chatat as well, referring to the except catching the blood. V'chiper alav hakoren al chatat, or the kohen will turn for him for his sin. What's that referring to? That referring to the kapara. And the kapara was associated with this rika as well. So all these avodah has to be for the, again, when it comes to chatat, it's critical for a chatat to be l'shem chatat. It has to be for the purpose of a sin offering itself. An interesting point here Katis mentions is that that's only if the machshava was for a different korban. If it was for l'shem chulin, meaning for just a barbecue, but it was in the Beis HaMikdash, everything's done in the proper manner, but the Lashem was done, it wasn't done for the purpose of Korban. In that situation, interestingly, the Korban would still be kasher, despite the fact, again, not satisfying the obligation of the Kohen. Why? That's because the Pasuk says, V'lo yichalel et kodshei b'nei Yisrael, meaning you cannot profane the Korbanon of b'nei Yisrael. The Chachim understand that kodshim, meaning having l'shem another korban, can mechalel, can ruin a korban, but not having machshava, having the thought for something that's not associated with the korban. Let's continue. Rabbi Eliezer says, afasham, even a guilt offering as well has the same status as a sin offering, such that if one had the wrong intention, meaning for a different korban, that it would also make it invalid. And he continues that clearly agrees how Pesach bizmano v'chatat v'asham v'chol zman, that Pesach only at the time when one is meant to offer a korban Pesach, and a sin and a guilt offering at any time. And this is the rationale of Rebbe Eliezer. Amar Rebbe Eliezer, chatat ba'al chet, we find a sin offering is brought for a sin, the asham and a guilt offering is also, I should say, generally brought for a sin. So ma chatat, just of the sin offering, psula shalolishma, if the intention was incorrect, meaning for a different korban when it was offered, it would make it invalid. So too with the guilt offering as well. Af asham pasul shelo lishma. And the brighter side in the Gemara says, he understands that he brings a pasuk to justify this. He says, kechatat keasham. The psukim seem to connect chatat and asham together. So they should share the same law. However, chachamim disagree. They said that pasuk kechatat keasham is kati saatia. That's only to teach the law of smicha. Now, it doesn't mean rabbinic coordination. What it means is that when one brings a korban, they have to rest their hands on the animal prior to being offered, or slaughtered, I should say. That says, v'samach yado al rosh ha-chatat. He rests his hands on the head of the chatat. So that's the reference to chatat and asham together. Kohen Chachamim only teaches us that we need smicha by a korban asham as well. But not that having the wrong lishma, meaning having the intention for a different korban, would invalidate it like a chatat, as Rebbe Eliezer had argued. Those are Mishnah today.